So there are so many different skills that everyone brings to the table when you're out sailing. It's not necessarily just about handling the sails themselves. So don't get discouraged if you haven't had a lot of time out on the water. That's the whole point of heading out and building these miles, is so that you can learn from those experiences and get better and better every time that you head out. Hey there, and welcome to Your Pocket Sailing Instructor, the number one educational podcast all about sailing. I'm Penny Caldwell, and I have been a sailing coach for over 25 years now. I'm here to help you reach your sailing goals. Whether you're looking for gear reviews, safety tips, or just some fun sailing stories, this podcast will have it all. Your Pocket Sailing Instructor is an educational and fun podcast all about things sailing. I plan on releasing weekly episodes every Monday to help you start off your week on a high note. So grab your coffee and join me for your weekly dose of all things sailing. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Your Pocket Sailing Instructor. I am very happy to have you joining me here today. I hope that you're having a wonderful week and you're ready to talk about all things sailing. So today we are going to dive into a topic that I get a lot of questions about, and this is how to build more experience, get more time out on the water, get more knowledge in between your credentials. So when you are taking different courses, how can you work on things or build towards your newer or your next accreditation? So this comes from one of my patrons. Thank you very much for asking the question. And you're definitely not the only one out there asking this question. I do get this question quite often. So let's start off here just talking a little bit about what type of sailing you might be interested in doing following your courses. So if you're just starting out and you have taken a basic day sailing course, one of the best things that I think that you can do is try to join a local sailing club. Maybe you have a yacht club in the area, or there's just kind of a group of like-minded sailors who get together. Maybe you met someone during your course who has a boat. I see this often where during a course, I might have a mix of people who already have a boat and people who do not have a boat. And As I've mentioned in previous episodes, the people that have the boats are always looking for crew, and the people who don't have the boats are always looking to get out and sail with others. So it kind of works out really well. So during your course, if you take a course through a sailing school, a sailing club, potentially you will meet other people in that course who already have a boat or maybe looking to sail with you as well. So it's a really good time to exchange contact information and meet new sailors. But let's say maybe that didn't happen during your course, and maybe you took your course out of town and now you're trying to find somewhere to sail. So one of the best places to find someone to sail with would be at a local sailing club. So in our area here in Nelson, we have the Kootenai Lake Sailing Association. They are a bunch of really great sailors who enjoy going out and doing racing. We have race nights twice a week, so usually Thursday nights or Wednesday nights, and then Sunday afternoons, which is pretty typical of most places. So depending on where you live, there will probably be some sort of organization that you could reach out to and potentially start joining in on some of those race nights. Some clubs I find will also have just cruising options, so just looking to get together and do some basic sailing, like just head out for an afternoon and do some sailing. So really, the only thing I can recommend is that hands-on is the best way that you are going to expand your skills and expand your knowledge. So you can read all kinds of books, you can watch all kinds of YouTube channels, but in the end, really getting on the boat, handling the equipment, being out there in different types of weather, different situations, different crew, that's really how you are going to start to grow as a sailor. So if you have that option, definitely I highly recommend that you just basically try to insert yourself into that culture and into that group and get out. I know that it can be a little nerve-wracking at first. I've been there. Even when we moved here to Nelson, I was new to the area. And even though I already had, 15, 20 years of sailing under my belt, I still found it hard to crack into the Kootenai Lake Sailing Association here. One of the things that I did to help with that is I volunteered as the secretary for a season. So that let me get to know a lot of the sailors in the area. And then I started going out more regularly for race nights. I tried to be consistent with being able to join the boat so that they could depend on me being there. That is one thing that will really help is if you decide that you do want to pursue going out and sailing regularly with someone, try to be consistent with being able to make it out to race nights, because that is one of the things that skippers most struggle with, is finding not only competent crew, but crew that are able to join them consistently throughout the season. And obviously, if you're out on the boat and personalities are just not jiving and that's not something that you're interested in doing, then so be it. But if you are enjoying it and you enjoy the boat and you enjoy the skipper, then definitely try to maintain that if you can. So I know that it can be hard to break into some of these different groups sometimes. You have to just kind of push your way in there sometimes. You just have to decide, I want this, I want to be a part of this, and I'm going to be a part of this. And just try to get in there any way that you can. So that is if you have some sort of sailing group or sailing opportunity in your area. Depending on where you're living, some of you might be a bit more landlocked. Hopefully not. Hopefully if you love sailing, you live somewhere where you can actually do it, or at least watch other people doing it and then have the option of going out. But if you are landlocked, unfortunately, what you might want to look into is different types of flotillas or charter opportunities. I find the best way to find these sometimes, depending on what your sailing circle is like, would be to find a Facebook group maybe, or a meetup group. And just start again talking to some of the people that are within these groups to find out if that is something that you can get into and explore a little bit further. Ironically, one of the things that I have not done a lot is I have not hired other skippers to take me out sailing. And part of that for me, I guess, has been the fact that, you know, I have all these credentials, I have the ability to handle a boat, you know, whatever size it is. So why would I pay somebody else? But over the last few years with my family, I have gone out specifically on like afternoon sails or like a sunset sail, or we go out and do like, you know, we were just in Hawaii. I was talking about our Hawaii trip, and we went swimming with sharks and we went snorkeling with turtles. And those were experiences that we went out and did off of other people's boats. And so they were skippering, they were in charge. And in the end, it was really nice for me to be out on the water and to not have that extra layer of responsibility and to not be in charge. So if you do have some credentials under your belt, and you are feeling like, why should I pay somebody else to take me out sailing when I could be sailing this boat? I hear you. I get it. Totally. I'm a cheap Scot. So if I can get away with not paying for something, I'm going to try. But over the last few years, I have definitely recognized the value of just having someone who knows an area. So it's not just necessarily their sailing skills that you end up paying for in the end, but it's also their local knowledge, their experience in whatever it is, whatever type of boating that you're doing in that particular area. And it can actually be really fun to see how somebody else manages their boat, manages their crew. A lot of times when I get out on these adventures, I don't even mention that I'm a sailor and that, you know, I have all this experience and I know what I'm doing. I just kind of see how things go and let things build from there. So just an idea there, depending on what level of sailing, you know, if you've taken quite a few courses and you're starting to feel like you don't really want to pay to have somebody take you out sailing, just keep that in mind that it will still be beneficial for you to be out with someone who has that expertise and that local knowledge. And you'll end up, you know, probably sharing a lot of experiences. And in the end, a lot of times when I have gone out on these adventures, I do end up talking to them in the end and kind of exchanging contact information and sailing stories and all that kind of stuff. And a lot of times they really appreciate knowing that they have somebody on the boat that has experience, and they enjoy talking to, you know, they just like being able to talk to somebody about something other than touristy type of stuff. So just something to keep in mind there. But if you can find some sort of group where you can look into the option of chartering, whether it is a bare boat charter or a skippered charter where you hire someone as well, that could be really fun, or a flotilla type of option where you have a few different boats sailing together. Again, it's all about getting that hands-on experience, getting the time on the boat, spending as much time as possible, just working your way through some of the different systems on the boat, handling the sails and doing lots of reefing and heaving to and tacking and jibing and just lots of practice. So when you do these types of things as well, what you want to also keep in mind is make sure you are keeping a log of where you're going, who you're with, what you're doing, what your position is on the boat, or what your kind of area of responsibility is on the boat. And that will also just help strengthen, I guess, your sailing resume, so that you are setting yourself up for kind of that next step or that next course that you are looking to take. Now, from here, one of the things that you can look into as well is just kind of local sailing groups and local meetup groups. So I've talked a little bit about a club, but also just online, there are a lot of different groups available now where not only is it necessarily talking about sailing, but they end up talking about all kinds of different boat related things. And I find that in a lot of these types of groups, you can exchange and learn a lot of information about specific things that you might not think about. So I'm thinking, for instance, we have several different groups here in BC where we have West Coast sailors, you know, sailors for sailing the Pacific and all that kind of stuff. And so they will start talking about different regattas that are coming up. If they're looking for crew for their regattas, they'll start talking about maybe offshore types of trips that they want to do, and maybe some different boat deliveries. So there's a lot of different information, and that I find that Facebook is a great way to also find access to other sailors, and that will also help you get into a position where you could head out on the water again and build kind of your, I guess, your sailing toolbox and build some miles between your first course and whatever course you're looking at taking next. Now, one of the things to keep in mind when you are looking at doing this is you have to think about what is my goal? What is the next course that I'm planning on taking? A lot of people really fall in love with the idea of doing offshore sailing, for instance. And depending on where you're going, it can actually be really boring. And I know that that's probably not what you want to hear, but when we do offshore trips, you know, we brought a boat back, for instance, I brought a boat back from Hawaii back to Victoria. And, you know, we spent about 10 days on a starboard tack, and then we spent the next 10 days on a port tack. And that was pretty much it. Like, we basically furled in the foresail every once in a while. I don't even think that we ended up reefing. We maybe furled in the main at one point. But basically, ocean sailing can be very monotonous. And yeah, so it can end up being kind of the same thing day in, day out. So it might not be the best way to gain more sailing and more hands-on type of experience. It is unbelievably cool to be out on the ocean in the middle of the night sailing. Don't get me wrong. You've got so many stars. It's hard to describe what it looks like, really. And the phosphorescence in the water, and just, you know, when you have an albatross show up or you see the whales in the distance, like, trust me, there's a lot of really cool things that happen. But if your goal is to move up into a sailing certification where you're doing a lot more sail handling and maybe some racing and that type of thing, you're not really going to get that hands-on sailing experience that you're looking for by doing an offshore type of course, or not course, but even a sail or a boat delivery or whatever. So I would suggest that depending on what you are looking to work on or what level you are looking to attain for your certifications, when you are building your miles in between your courses and looking for different ideas for courses, try to keep that in mind, that sometimes shorter trips or races or evening sails that, you know, you're only out there for 2 or 3 hours can be just as valuable, if not more, than doing a week-long trip, because it is a different type of sailing. And a lot of times when you are racing, for instance, there's a lot of focus on trimming the sails and getting the most speed out of the boat. Whereas when you're doing a liveaboard type of course, it's more about going from point A to point B in the most comfortable way possible. So that might not be the fastest way. It might be the scenic route. You might be sitting back and relaxing. So again, depending on the type of sailing that you're looking to do and the type of accreditation, the miles that you build in between, you want to kind of match that to what your sailing goals are. So these different Facebook groups that I find, for instance, I just popped in a Facebook search here, New Zealand sailing. So there's the New Zealand sailing community, New Zealand sailing. Like, there's a ton of different options. So just put in where you're from and then put sailing after it and see what pops up. So like I was saying, for us in BC here, we have all kinds of different sailing groups, and even not necessarily a sailing specific group. It could be a boating group. You could get into some boating experience where you're working on power boats a little bit. And power boats, I find, I'll do a whole other episode on power boats, but specifically, power boats are great for really understanding leeway and wind and current and the effects that they have on the boat, because the power boat handles very differently from a sailboat, and you will really, really feel the effect of the wind and the current on the boat. So if you really want to test your skills and definitely improve your close quarter maneuvering and your docking, for instance, I would suggest getting out on a powerboat and playing around with that and learning from a powerboater specifically, because a lot of the tips that they have for their boat could also be beneficial on a sailboat. Even though our boats do not react the same, theirs are much, I guess, touchier, I guess you could say, more touchy. And so, you know, anytime you can get hands-on, that will really help expand your skills. So getting hands-on as much as possible when you're looking to build miles is key, and finding those different groups, different local communities. You might have to travel a little bit, or maybe you sign up for some sort of flotilla, or you sign up for some sort of sailing adventure. And one of the things that you could do too, if you are paying for a sailing adventure, you could let them know, like, hey, I'm working towards my certification and I would be really keen to be able to help out a little bit more on the boat as far as handling the sails or helming or docking if they're comfortable. So that way you kind of let them know that you're working on your certifications and you're looking to get kind of a little bit more involved on the boat instead of just a typical sit back and relax type of scenario. So just a few ideas there as far as building your time on the water. Now, off of the water, you also want to kind of, expand your knowledge as much as possible. And I did an episode on this. I think it was either episode 4 or episode 6. Let me see. Episode 6 is 10 ways to meet other sailors. So in this case, it would be episode 4, where I talked about things that you can do in the off-season training. So I find that, you know, at the beginning of this episode, I mentioned that you're not going to become a better sailor by reading or watching a lot of YouTube. But when you are not in a position to get out on the boat, it's a great time to expand your knowledge, your theory, and brush up on things. So, and there are a lot of complementary type of skills and courses that you can do that will really complement your time out on the water. So in the off season, you might look at taking a navigation course or your marine radio course. You might look at doing some sort of safety course or an offshore safety survival course. Those are pretty cool. You could even look at doing a first aid course. So all of these things will help kind of add to your seamanship toolbox that I always talk about. And they always help you even as being a valuable crew on board. Because if you are looking at doing more serious trips and longer distance trips, for instance, and you're kind of working towards that yacht master type of certification, a lot of times on the boat, people will end up kind of specializing, or they'll end up kind of working in an area on the boat where they have some extra skills. So when we were coming back from Hawaii, for instance, one of my friends on the boat, Ren, she's actually a first aid instructor, which was really great because she ended up taking on the role of kind of the first responder on the boat. And so she would go through the grab bag. She went through our first aid kits and made sure that everything was topped up and all of the different medications that we had and different medical equipment that we had on board was good to go and ready to go. And she was kind of the point person that if anybody got sick, she would be the first person to have a look and say, okay, let's do this or do that or whatever. So her background in first aid was really key in that situation. You might have another person who has done quite a few different navigation courses. I often get caught in this situation where I end up being the navigator on board because I like to geek out on the charts and everything. But if you have somebody who has that navigation background, they might become a bit more of the trip planner, or maybe they're keeping an eye on the weather and they're helping with routing and planning. So when you have a group of people coming together, the skipper who is putting together the crew, they're going to look not only at what are your sailing skills, but they're also going to look at what are some of the other skills that you bring to the table, whether it's outdoor survival, or maybe you have a background in weather planning, maybe you're an avalanche forecaster or something like that, and you have a really keen sense of the weather. You know, all of these different skills can be really beneficial to others on the boat. So as far as looking towards building miles and building experience for your different sailing courses, you can also build a lot of experience and basically kind of increase your value to the rest of the crew and the boat by doing some of these other types of off-season training. So I'm always a big proponent of learning new things and trying new things. So whether it's sailing related and you want to get into specifics like learning all about the collision regulations, or maybe you want to, learn a little bit about electrical systems so that you can help with wiring on the boat. There's plumbing on the boat. If you really like to cook, you could help out with the provisioning and the cooking. If you have a first aid background, you can help out with first aid. Like, there are just so many different things that go into planning a trip and being out on the boat that I would say that anything that you can bring to the table will be a big help. So that's episode number 4. And kind of talking about off-season training and different types of other courses that you can look into that will help bring things to the table. As far as sailing specific off-season courses that you can do, with the availability of information on the internet now, there's so many different courses available out there, whether it's looking at YouTube videos that specifically describe sail trim techniques, or like I said, taking a coastal navigation course, or learning about fiberglassing and how to work with epoxy. Oh man, I could go on and on. And these are just, really cool things. Depending on what you're interested in, think about what you're interested in, and then I can basically email me and I can help you figure out how to apply it to the boat. Honestly, there's pretty much overlap with sailing and everything in the world. So if you're confused or if you want some more help with that, just email me sailnelson@outlook.com and I'll be happy to help you figure out how your skills will help out on the boat, because I guarantee that they will. I'm just going to backtrack a little bit because I just thought of it. As far as getting more miles and experience, like water specific experience to work towards your next accreditation, one of the things that you can do too that doesn't require too much getting out and meeting new people and stuff, if you're more of an introvert, is you could also look into dinghies in the area. So any kind of sailing dinghies that you can get your hands on, whether it's a Laser or maybe a CL14, Code 40, whatever. There's a whole bunch of different kind of starter boats that are adult sized, I guess you could say. That would really be great too, because dinghy sailors make pretty much the best sailors. And I'm not just saying that because I'm a dinghy sailor. But when you're on a dinghy, you really feel the wind. Your weight has a huge impact on how the boat moves. So you tend to learn things very, very quickly when you're out on a dinghy. So if you can get some dinghy sailing under your belt as well, I would highly recommend that, because that will really take your sailing and your understanding of the wind, the weight on the boat, and how the boat moves to the next level. I just want to take a minute to give a big shout out to my patrons. You guys are a huge support for me. You help to make these episodes possible, so thank you so much. For those of you who are not familiar with Patreon, it's a way for you to help support content creators like myself through a subscription. For as little as $3 a month, you can support my little podcast to reach many more people, and it will help me bring you new episodes every single week. Check it out today at patreon.com. That's patreon.com/yourpocketsailinginstructor. That's patreon.com/yourpocketsailinginstructor. One last time, patreon.com/yourpocketsailinginstructor. And I so appreciate your support. Now let's get back to our episode. So just to recap my ideas here, as far as trying to get more miles in between your courses, when you've done one course and you're working towards your next course, one of the first things I would say is try to get involved or integrated into some sort of local sailing group, whether or not they are a snooty bunch. They might be snotty too. Who knows? Maybe they have a cold. But you know, if you meet a group that are not overly welcoming, try not to be discouraged and just try to find that one person that's going to throw you the olive branch and get in there. So that's one way. Another way is to get involved in a charter or a flotilla type of event. That's something that I am putting together a couple of those per year. So definitely make sure you're on my email list and I will keep you posted on those. That's sailnelson.com. And I'm planning to have flotillas in the fall, probably October timeframe, and then in the winter as well. So February-ish, March-ish, that kind of thing. So I'm working on doing some of those over the next few years, starting in 2025. So keep an ear out for that. But definitely try to find a charter, a flotilla, a sailing adventure that you can get in on. And when you sign up for it, let them know that you are a sailor. Maybe you're starting out, or maybe you have a few courses under your belt, but you're using this experience to also expand your personal techniques and learn some more sailing specific things. And then finally as well, looking up different Facebook groups so that maybe you can have some in-person meetups, but if not, you will also hopefully glean a little bit of information from the groups that you are chatting with. If you do find any cool groups too, feel free to send them my way, and I'm always interested in kind of hearing what people have to say and what they're up to and all that kind of stuff. And then as far as off-water knowledge, you know, keep in mind that there are all kinds of different experiences and techniques and personal experiences that you can bring to the table as far as heading out on a boat, and whether that is a particular career that you are involved in, or whether it's another hobby that you have or other courses, there are all kinds of different skills that everyone brings to the table. And that's one of the fun things about sailing, is it taps into a lot of different skills and a lot of different personalities and all that kind of stuff. So it can be really fun to kind of work with everyone and just find out what the different backgrounds are and all that stuff. So like I said, I do have a couple of episodes that you can check out that will help a little bit more with getting miles in between your courses. I have one that is episode number 6. It's 10 ways to meet other sailors. So make sure that you listen to that episode. I give you a whole bunch of ideas on where you can meet some new people, some like-minded people to get out sailing more. Episode 4 is all about off-season training and what are some of the different things that you can do during the off-season to keep yourself kind of boat ready. And then I also have episode 27 and 28 are all about how to be a prepared sailing crew or a prepared skipper. So in those, I also discuss some of the skills that you can kind of brush up on and stuff. And I do talk about this topic quite a bit throughout some of the other ones, but those are the episodes that I would say have a bit more information pertaining to this particular topic. So I am going to wrap up here. Once again, thank you to all of my patrons. I don't know if you guys saw my posts, but my little podcast has had over 100,000 downloads. Holy moly. It's kind of fun to think about that, you know, all this stuff I'm sending out into the universe is being enjoyed by so many people. So really happy to have you guys here. And thank you so much for the support. And I love getting the emails and texts and messages on Instagram and Facebook and all that stuff. And oh my gosh, I looked at iTunes the other day. I looked up the podcast and I have so many 5-star ratings from all of you. Thank you so, so much. I'm humbled by all of the appreciation I'm getting for this. And thank you so much. So I will be back again next week. Looking forward to chatting with you again. And I hope you have a great day. Bye.